charge here. That's what the rules are.
Welcome to Walkers and Talkers, episode 186. I'm confident this time, Jamie. I don't need to ask you if it's 186. I'm sure of it. I remember because the Mets won the World Series in 1986, and this is as close as we're going to get to that. Because we're not. My guess is we're not going to do 1986 episodes.
Oh, that would be a lot.
That would be a lot. So 186, 1986. There you go. That's what I got out of it. So welcome to Walkers and Talkers, our third week in a row of doing a weekly podcast again.
Yay!
I can't swear to next week, and I can't even swear to this week. Once we talk about the episode, I got so many questions. So we'll get to that. I'm David Brody from Elvis Duran The Morning Show. That, of course, is Jamie from Light FM in New York. Nationally syndicated into New York, from New York, and only New York. But still, nationally syndicated on iHeartRadio. So wherever you are, if you want to hear Jamie's show in the morning. You guys don't podcast the show, right? There's no way to listen after the show?
No, we don't. It's a one and done.
All right. You can't listen to Jamie's show because you got to listen to Elvis Duran The Morning Show. I'm sorry. But again, if you want Christmas music, you guys are playing Christmas music already, right? Not yet?
Oh, yeah. You know, we already started that.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah. If you want your Christmas music early and maybe one Hanukkah song in the month of December, Light FM 106.7, the light that, what's the slogan? Keep the light on. The light.
Oh, that's old. We don't even use that.
I don't know. It's
more variety, more music, more music, more variety.
A light in the
variety.
Darkness. When it comes to heavyweights, we're light. Whatever it is, you guys have a Light FM station. You know when you go into the dentist or you're at a funeral. No.
Oh God.
No, I'm sorry. Light FM in New York is much different. They actually play pop music, up to date, rhythmic stuff. They just don't play a lot of hard rock and a lot of hip-hop, right? Would that be fair?
Yeah, that's okay. Fair. And there's a full show there in between in the morning.
Right, but boy, they curse like crazy.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Filthy mouths. Okay, so there you go. Episode 186. So there's a little bit of news I want to talk about. Then we're going to talk about what can only be described as the princess episode.
Oh, for sure.
Right, or princess's coming out party. Or the, what do they call it, a homecoming dance for princess? Or
a quinceanera,
or a cotillion for princess,
or yeah,
right, or her, I don't know what else you have, her bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
It was her homecoming. What's the other one? The her confirmation party. Oh. whatever you want to, whatever the big party is,
party.
Sweet 16, whatever we haven't said already twice. That's the episode. So let's talk about a couple of things that are in the news of the world of The Walking Dead. There's a Fear the Walking Dead digital spinoff series called Dead in the Water coming.
I saw that.
Now, digital, I don't know if that means YouTube, streaming only on AMC Premiere or AMC Plus or whatever. They don't say where it's going to be, but there is a digital series coming, which means just it won't be on broadcast television. Now, the only thing that makes it a spinoff from Fear the Walking Dead, well, I'll tell you what it's about. And then, well, Jamie, I want you to tell me how it's a spinoff of Fear the Walking Dead. It's the story of a submarine crew fighting for survival, cut off from the surface world just as the apocalypse hits, becoming a nuclear-fueled, walker-filled death trap with no way out. Oh. How is that a spinoff of Fear the Walking Dead?
Because in the Fear the Walking Dead, there was that giant submarine
that
was on the land, and the guys were either spray-painting or painting right on there.
That's correct.
Those exact words.
Right, so we are going to get a backstory on the men and women who were in for the seamen that were in the submarine.
Okay.
We're going to get a big seamen backstory.
Here we go.
A big digital seamen story. I don't know if it's going to be on Pornhub.
Oh, God. AMC.com, maybe.
AMC.com. So, yes.
Sir.
So the seamen show will be only on digital to find out what happened when the seamen washed up in Texas. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm reading here.
That's what I'm hearing.
It's the impression I'm getting. Fear the Walking Dead. That will be back, as a reminder, Sunday, April 11th, 2021.
That's
or as people
soon.
In my old neighborhood of Brooklyn would say, 21.
21.
21.
Oh, 21.
They would say...
I can't even do it.
Right. They would say 12, not 12. Then they would say 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25.
That's a little Joe Pesci.
Well, that Joe Pesci sounds like he's from my area.
Yeah.
Throw you through a roof. Throw you off a roof. Or throw you through a window 3 times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't speak that way. But there have been times in my life I may have. I don't know. There may be people listening. Listeners, again, we've established we're the talkers, you're the listeners. I don't mean to be offensive.
Yes, we established that.
That I'm sure you guys may have, you might not be going, holy shit, I say 12. Holy shit, I never realized I say 12. But you do. And it's wrong. It's endearing. It's cute, but not correct. I'm not going to grammar police you, by the way. That's the Brooklyn Boys podcast. Speaking of the Brooklyn Boys podcast, before we go any further, we put out that survey last week. And yes. I said, tweet us at walkers_talkers. Shame on you, Marcus. You didn't listen. Marcus DC was so excited. He tweeted at us before I was finished explaining where to tweet us. So,
Marcus.
Most people hit reply to when I posted there was a new episode. So they replied to AMC Talking Dead, AMC Walking Dead. They replied to everybody. Because I don't know if everybody knows how to reply without replying all. Or to start a new tweet. And that's fine. There's easy ways to do it. If you're on your mobile device, as they say, your app should have a button that says reply or reply all. Or you can just delete the other names manually.
Or that's true.
If you're on the desktop version of Twitter, when you hit reply, right, it doesn't ask you reply or reply all, but it shows all of the names in blue hyperlinks.
All the handles, yeah.
Right, you can undo those. You don't hit reply all. Anyway, so to the people that said yes, I'm not finding fault because I love you. We still don't have enough yeses to order shirts.
Oh, man.
I'm assuming you guys haven't all listened yet to the podcast. For the people. So if you are one of those people who said, yeah, I want one, they'll have enough. Yeah. I need an accurate count. Again, don't DM me. Don't send me snail mail to my house.
Oh, God.
Don't fly a plane over with smoke. Just tweet at walkers_talkers. Yes, I would want a shirt, and this is the size I would want. So I can maybe place an order for 12 and know the sizes.
All right? Yeah.
All right. Now, that being said, Jamie, you have some news for me, for us, for everybody?
I do. So Robert Kirkman reveals how the anthology spinoff tales are going to differ from the main show a little bit.
Those short little series.
The little short series. So he said that they will do things that are much different than what we're seeing in the main series. I cannot wait for this. So they're basically like little self-contained zombie stories with new and existing characters, including some characters that may have died by the time we reach the season finale, which is, you know, we're 10 years in. And he said that it's very much underway, that they are already, it sounds like they're filming it, because he said, we hope it makes it past the first season.
All right.
So all right. I am pumped. I cannot wait to see this.
Now, any idea, does it say what characters might be in it?
It doesn't say. It says new and existing. So I would love, you know, our OGs on the show, like I would love to see more of their backstory, you know, learn as much as we can about them.
Okay. I just Googled the article, what you're talking about. It says, you know, Robert Kirkman, it says, we're hopeful we'll be able to jump forward and backward in time. And he says, characters expected to return include Abraham Ford, Michael Cutlets.
Woo!
Which, by the way, if he's in it, we'd know already.
That's true.
Beta is going to get an episode. It also says, that some people may get one episode and some people may get a miniseries. Like a few episodes.
Really?
Ooh. Oh, it says Eastman's coming back. The guy who trained Morgan to use his stick.
Yep.
From season 6. So, I like that.
I'm watching a show with him on it right now called Big Sky. Did you see that?
No. What's that about?
Human trafficking. And the guy that plays Eastman is a state trooper, but he's into real shady business. I'll put it that way.
Huh.
It's actually phenomenal. It's really good.
Oh, okay.
It's on ABC.
All right. Well, I don't know if I have time to add that to my platter, but it sounds interesting.
It's very good.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Speaking of shows, I'm not sure I'm going to watch. AMC announced a partnership with Hot Ones producers. Now, Hot Ones is Chris Evans, not Captain America, who brings on celebrities and he asks them questions. He interviews them while they're eating super hot wings. You haven't seen that?
Isn't there a YouTube guy that does that?
That's the guy.
Oh, it is the guy.
But his production company and the show is called Hot Ones.
Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha.
Hey, that sounds like a guy on YouTube who eats what? Yes.
That's like a guy. That guy.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Huh. I knew it sounded familiar.
Yeah. Anyway, they are putting together a show called Run the Dish, an original series, a cooking show inspired by the world of The Walking Dead. I'm assuming they'll be making Carol's cookies like you do.
I want to go on that show. I've made them a million times.
So it says they're going to leverage the strength of food and fandom for an unconventional cooking show featuring apocalypse-inspired dishes created by celebrity chefs and the Walking Dead universe talent. So people from the Walking Dead and will be on the show cooking, you know.
I have the Walking Dead cookbook at my house here.
Okay, well, maybe they'll make deer or
I want to be on the show. That's amazing.
Or whatever else they, well, if I like to consider you Walking Dead talent, so maybe you'll be able to do that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mention to them if you go to audition that they remind you of another show on YouTube where the guy eats
wings.
So.
No, I won't say that.
No, you guys do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You guys ripping off that guy on YouTube? All right. This is going to be a very, this is going to be a much quicker episode of Walkers and Talkers because I took notes on every single thing in the episode, as I always do. As we, you know, when we recap the episode.
Yep.
And as it turns out, the actors on the show, when they first read the script, they weren't given an advanced copy. So they read the script for the first time at the table read. I did want to jump ahead to what Kari Payton said about this episode, because he was on Talking Dead talking about it. And he said, "They just gave it to me cold and had me read the script. Halfway through the script, I was angry. I was pissed. I said, what the hell are they doing? Why would Ezekiel say this? Why would he just pop off on someone like this? That's not the way he would react. I was so mad, I was going to call." He says, "I was going to write Angela Kang an email. I'm going to put my foot down. And then I got to the end of the script, and I realized it's not Ezekiel at all. And at that point, I fell in love with the script."
All right, before we go any further, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this.
So, let's talk about how we feel about the episode before I break down the episode. I do want to read a couple of tweets that we got from the listeners. Cheryl Pangborn said, "Terrible episode, vomit emoji."
What?
Justin at Kicklo, big Brooklyn Boys fan, he didn't say he hated the episode. He said, "I feel like I have disappointed at David Brody and all of the listeners of the Walkers and Talkers podcast, as embarrassingly only today did I find out that Andrew Lincoln, Rick, is British and speaks with an accent. I'm only in season three of The Walking Dead."
Oh my God.
"I'm sorry, forgive me." So I don't know when Justin's going to hear this episode.
It's going to be a while. In a long time.
But he didn't know. So newsflash, I would say at least a third of the cast is British.
Oh, yeah. Maggie, Morgan.
Yeah.
Rick.
Right. So don't be surprised that you're going to find a lot more people are British.
Putting
on the fake Georgia accent. our friend Trevor at Trev's Chan 2 called it the worst episode ever. The guys at Knockbro Nation that I follow, NOCBRO Nation, they loved it, thought it was a unique episode and a great way to showcase Princess. So with that being said, what did you think of the episode, Jamie?
I'm leaning more towards I thought it was a unique episode, and I liked how it showcased Princess, and we learned her background and her trauma. There was some parts I was like, well, that's a little weird, but for the most part, I enjoyed it.
So a lot of people said that she's not a big enough character to handle her own episode and to showcase her for the whole episode. I would say that in reality,
oh, Jesus.
He didn't like the episode either, right?
She didn't either. Sorry.
Is that dog?
Yeah, it's dog. I kidnapped dog. And no one's home, so I don't know what she's brought yet. Stop it. Okay.
Very good. Nope.
I'm so sorry. You want to hang on 1 second?
Sure.
Sorry. Hold on. Piper, come here.
Looking back at the episode, it wasn't really her alone, because whether they were real or not, Ezekiel was in the episode. Eugene was in the episode. Yumiko spoke briefly. So it wasn't like it was only her all the time. It's just in reality it was only her. By the way, spoiler, yes. If you haven't seen the episode,
yeah,
most of it was a hallucination.
Yeah.
She had a very rough childhood. Her stepfather beat her. Her mother didn't support her. It sounds like she got locked in small rooms often to be punished. And as such, she kind of went a little stir crazy, locked up in the train car.
Yeah.
I'm going to call claustrophobic bullshit that she just happened to be thrown into a train car. But she was reciting all the state capitals in alphabetical order, trying to stay sane, trying to not lose her mind.
Almost like a self-soothing mechanism.
Right. As it turned out, she did lose her mind a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm going to focus on the stuff that was real. I'm not going to call happens to be a hole in the train car bullshit, because as it I was going to, but as it turns out,
there wasn't.
I'm also not going to call how come the guards don't turn to the left bullshit when she's on the back of the train.
You know what? I thought the same thought, and then I realized afterward, oh, okay, yeah, I get it.
I can't call the guards were always walking in pairs bullshit, but yet one guard comes in by himself to bring her food bullshit. I can't call that because she never actually saw the two guards. She looked out the crack and may have thought she saw guards, but we don't know what was real and what wasn't. So when we get to the part where we recap Talking Dead, I will tell you what the writer of the episode said was real and what wasn't, because she made it clear what actually did happen.
She did.
Okay. So this part's real. The episode picks up where the original finale ended, which is them getting surrounded at the train yard by the Commonwealth soldiers. Princess gets punched. Yumiko gets punched. Princess yells, "Don't hurt Yumiko." She calls one of the soldiers a shithead as they throw her into the train car. So there's your curse for the mini season, because I think they only get the one. Well, by the way, we just cursed, so we got to mark.
Oh, Gabriel said fuck last episode.
Oh, well, I get one an episode.
Oh, one an episode. Okay, well, there it is.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean one for this. I meant one per episode, I believe.
Okay.
I think, or maybe...
He got the big one.
Or maybe it used to be one per season. Maybe they're relaxing them.
Yeah.
And maybe shithead is not considered top-level curse. I don't know. At some point, she hears the walkie-talkies and the soldiers talking, and one of them says, "I can't wait to tell Mercer." If you didn't catch that, that's one of the things that was said. Mercer, we've mentioned on this podcast before, he's a big deal in the comics. He wears red armor, and that's who we had thought may have been the guy that was hanging out with Maggie if she had come from the Commonwealth. But clearly, she's not from the Commonwealth, because, you know, they would have recognized these people or something. I don't get the impression Maggie's from there, because she's with the people she was with, and she said most of them have been killed. And
there's not many left.
So if she was with Georgie, then maybe Georgie left and then formed the Commonwealth or went to the Commonwealth and rose to power as the governor of the Commonwealth. So maybe we'll see her again. Anyway, he also has two cool weapons he walks around with. But he just got cast in the show by a guy named Michael, being played by Michael J. Shaw. And so we're not going to see Mercer until probably a few episodes into next season.
Yeah.
Because they're already filming next season. And he just got the job. Unless he filmed and they didn't announce it. But they made it seem like he just got hired to play Mercer. So I have to imagine we're going to see a bunch of other episodes in season 11 before we get back to this stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not going to get into a whole lot of what happened, because it didn't really happen. Just know that she imagined talking to Yumiko. She imagined she may have gotten a splinter in her hand for real. I think she did. I think the splinter was real, which is the name of the episode.
Yeah.
At some point, I wanted to call perfect timing bullshit, because he came into the car to take her, and at this point, she had already imagined speaking to Eugene, who told her to go back in the car, that he didn't want to ruin it, that these are probably good people. So she goes back in the car, perfect timing, and a soldier comes into the train car and takes her to be interrogated. But it's not perfect timing, because it wasn't real.
No.
Okay? So this is the part that was a little creepy. They strip her down to, and they shower her, either naked, to check for walker bites, because she says, "I don't have any bites," or to, I don't know, look for weapons. But that guy looked her up and down a bunch of times.
It was pervy.
There was a moment where he didn't make eye contact.
Well, she looked like she had a good body, so, you know.
Well, she does have a good body, but look, I don't know how she is as far as grooming. But there's an apocalypse going on. I would imagine she was probably like, "Dude, you shouldn't be. I'm not prepared for that particular region."
It's apocalyptic down there.
Yeah, it's apocalyptic. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that was a little uncomfortable for her, but she didn't seem to care. I guess it's the apocalypse. At that point, you don't care about anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, she gets taken to be interrogated. Now, we had talked about that guy maybe being Lance Hornsby from the comics, but Lance Hornsby isn't violent, and this guy got violent. So either they've changed his character or that wasn't him. So wherever the interrogation is, that room, is it in the Commonwealth? And did they blindfold her, put a bag on her head? Or do they happen to have an interrogation area by the train yard?
Which it seems like they have some off-site something.
Right. So they took her somewhere, but not to Commonwealth and not in the train yard. Somewhere in between, maybe.
Like a side trailer.
The guy keeps asking her name, and she's being very difficult. Eventually, she says Princess. And he's like, your name isn't Princess.
Yeah, come on, honey.
And she keeps asking how Yumiko is, because she saw Yumiko get hit for real. He won't answer any questions. And she says, why can't I see her? And he says, because you won't give us any answers, and you're being a bitch.
Oh,
and then he backhands her in the jaw. Really hard, knocks her down.
Yeah, really hard.
Now, later in the episode, she tells who she believes is Ezekiel, that her stepfather beat her, and that her jaw had been damaged many times and had healed before, but that he happened to hit her in an area where she suffered damage before.
Yeah.
This is her comic book backstory, by the way. She said, same thing, where she had this happen to her. She had a bad childhood, and that's probably why she's a little, a little off-centered, we'll call it. So a lot happens where we think she's talking to Eugene and she's talking to Ezekiel, who she imagines comes in through the top of her train car. One of the soldiers opens the door to bring her food. We don't see where Ezekiel went to, because at the moment we're thinking, oh, Ezekiel better hide, because we don't know he's fake at this point.
Right? I was screaming. I'm like, what is she doing?
Right. And so I'm like, did he hide under the...
that tarp in there.
The tarp? Like, where is he hiding? And so she starts apologizing to him for the interrogation and not being helpful. And she's sorry it got out of hand. And she didn't mean to be aggressive. And all of a sudden, boom! He goes down in the same way that Maze got killed last week.
From the side,
out of nowhere. Boom! Spoiler, Maze is dead from last week. It looks like Ezekiel knocked him down, and it looked like Princess was stunned that Ezekiel would do that. Well, that's because normally Ezekiel wouldn't do that.
No, he wouldn't.
So then I'm thinking, why is one guy bringing them food, right? Because you should at least have a backup.
Exactly.
I'll tell you why later, but it didn't make sense at the time. So I thought at this point they were going to do a Luke and Han Solo bit, where they take his armor off and Ezekiel dresses up like one of the troopers.
That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought he was disrobing him to put on his armor.
Right. I thought he was taking his gloves off.
I was like, whoa.
He was tying his hand. He handcuffed him. He must have taken the handcuffs off his hip, his body. I don't know. And so Ezekiel, it looks like, holds him at gunpoint. They ask about Yumiko again. And he says, if your friend needed help, we helped her. He says, look, our slogan is for the benefit of all, into all that seek solace at our gates, or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what we stand for. Like, we're good people. The guy says, maybe it's possible we're not the bad guys. Maybe if you stay, we really can help you. We have access to things that are valuable. And Princess says, let's say you actually are helpful, even though you look like a bunch of scary action figures come to life. The guy says, I don't have any real answers. I'm on probation. I'm going to lose my job. I'm just a rookie. I don't get real answers. He said, I'm such a rookie, that gun isn't even loaded. And he distracts them for a second. When they go to look at the gun, he hits Ezekiel. They overpower him again. It looks like Ezekiel is choking him. And Princess is yelling, don't kill him. Don't kill him. Let him go. Stop. And he's punching the crap out of this guy's face.
Really bad.
And then Ezekiel says, no one is going to hurt me anymore.
That's when I was like, wait a minute.
Right. When was he abused?
Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
Then he starts remembering things, and then you realize she's remembering things. There's blood on her hands and her face, and the whole thing was in her mind.
They have the exact same blood spot on their foreheads.
Right. Right. So she runs out of the train car with the gun, which has a bayonet on the end. She's about to go under a fence. She hears Ezekiel talking. Again, she's imagining it. He's standing on the other side of the fence with two train conductors. Walkers dressed as train conductors.
Dead ones.
Dead walkers. At that point, I'm like, oh, she's imagining dress up again, like when she dressed up everybody in town.
Yes.
And put them in positions. And Ezekiel, Tari Payton, said that's the first time it struck him for a minute that you never get to like hang out and stand next to walkers.
Never.
Because they're going to eat you. I would think Michonne was the only one that could do that when she had the slaves, when she cut their mouths off and their arms off. where she could stand next to them, they couldn't really do much to her.
Yeah.
So Ezekiel took a minute. He said, I didn't realize I was standing next to him. It was a pretty cool scene. He says to her, you should leave. Those people aren't really your friends. You should leave them there. Like, get away. And you know you want to leave. And she says, if I leave, then I would be just like my mother. And he says to her, your mother was a monster. And she says, well, I had a lot of good people in my life. And she starts listing all the people in her life that were good. And she said, and these people are good. They came back for me. So she genuinely likes the people on the show, which is good.
Yes, she does.
She goes back to the train car to talk to the soldier and apologizes to him. And then she's talking to Ezekiel, and he says, who are you talking to now? Because he saw her talking to Ezekiel before. And she says, I'm not crazy. Sure, there's ADHD, anxiety, PTSD, depression, yes. Active imagination. All that stuff helps me cope. She says, I'm not going to put the gun down, but she takes his handcuffs off. Now, again, when you're taking his handcuffs off, he could have punched her at that point.
I was waiting for that.
Right? The same way that...
She punched him.
That Daryl was having his hands tied. You go, how did that woman... What's her name? I don't remember her name.
Leah.
How did Leah, you know, keep him at bay when she couldn't possibly tie the knot while she had the gun on him?
So exactly.
He doesn't hit her for some reason. And I'll explain why in a minute. She asked him if he's really going to lose his job and get in trouble. He says yes, and he says, you people are just going to go back to the crappy part of the world you came from. You know, you guys can leave. She says, well, how can we help each other? What if I answer all of your questions? And he says, I don't know, maybe. So she says, look, I just met these people. I don't know how old they are. I don't know where they're from. She says their names, but she says, I don't know them very long. I don't know how they got here. She hands him back his rifle. So he says, we just needed to know if you could play ball with us. He puts his armor back on. His face is all bloody. He puts his armor back on, and she says, when can I see my friends? And he says, right now. They open the train car door.
Oh, my God.
And there are there's three guards, each with one of the other three survivors, with black hoods on their head. And they put a black hood on her because they're going to take her wherever they're going. Now, I don't think they're bad people, because they aren't bad people in the comics. So I don't think they're bad people here. I think they're maybe accepting of her, and now they're going to take them to the Commonwealth. I don't think they're going to torture them, but I think the whole thing was a setup. I think this guy let himself get captured. He let himself get beaten up, or he didn't expect it to happen, but it did, right? He let himself get jumped.
He did.
And he got her to talk. And I think that was the plan. That's why he went in alone without a second person.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't have a gun pulled on her. He allowed himself to be beaten up. So
he let himself to be vulnerable.
He wanted, right. He wanted to see how violent she'd get, how bad she is. Now, she could have killed him.
She could.
If that was the gamble, that's a pretty big gamble.
Yeah, it is.
So do you think they are going to take them as prisoners, or do you think that they are going to take them to the Commonwealth, that they believe them now?
I'm kind of caught in between, because I feel like they don't have enough information yet to trust them to, like, welcome to our community. We have bakeries and welcome. I don't think they're at that point yet. So I feel like they maybe take him to another offsite, or maybe the gateway to Commonwealth, and they need to get more answers. That's what I think.
Yeah. All right.
You have to be really trusted to be just let the bakery, you know.
Absolutely.
They got cookies in there and cakes.
I couldn't agree more.
All right, let's take our last break. We'll be right back after this.
Okay, so they showed a scene from next week. I'll get to all the scenes at the end. We'll combine them before we discuss it. So Talking Dead, did you watch Talking Dead?
Oh, I did. Loved it.
So Kari Payton, Paolo Lazzaro was on, who plays Princess. Ron Funches, who I normally like very much on sitcoms. I thought he was terrible on the show. Did you like him?
Was he high or something? Like, it was a little strange.
Yeah, normally he's more... He talked like this. He's Ron Funches, right? But he's usually a little more upbeat than that. And this time, he was just kind of like, I'm Ron Funches, and I watched The Walking Dead, and I did this.
That's actually pretty dead on.
And by the way, that's not me making fun of him. That's an impression. I like
him. That's literally what he sounds
like. I like him very much. But Ron Funches had sort of like a thing like that, where he talked like that. And anyway, so he just seemed like spaced out.
He did. I thought the same thing. I'm like, what's up with him?
So
tonight?
I did not enjoy that. So I'm not going to discuss any of his theories. He was out of it. They did have producer and co-writer Vivian C. or T. She spells it T-S-E, but I think they pronounced it C. So she co-wrote the episode. They both agreed, they both admitted, Carrie and Paolo, they did not know that it was Princess's imagination the whole time until they got to that part of the script, and they were both surprised when they read it. The writer, Vivian, says when they pitched the idea of the episode, they didn't tell Angela Kang what the twist was so that she would have the same reaction. And Angela said, well, I need to know what the episode's about. They said, we can't tell you. So imagine, and she's the boss going, well, I need to know. They're like, we can't tell you.
We can't tell you exactly.
Now, they had a very special in memoriam. Now, in memoriam is where they show who died, usually with a funny caption. If it's a walker dying, they'll make up some funny nickname for the walker. This was the first ever in memoriam, which they called a no memoriam, because no one on the show died. Walkers died. It's the first episode ever, which is also why a lot of people are upset, because it was basically a drama about Princess's life.
Yeah, and she even said on the talking dead, she goes, oh God, yeah, we have to add a walker in there. They're like, they almost had an episode with not one walker.
Right, which was just kind of like, I didn't realize
Anti-Walking Dead.
Anti-Walking Dead.
You got to have at least one in there, lady.
So there was no death. So there was really no in memoriam. But they said it returns next week. We'll talk about next week in a minute. Chris Hardwick and Vivian discussed this, and she said the first scene when they get captured, the interrogation is real, and at the end when she beats up the soldier, that whole thing is real. Those are all that really happened. So she was interrogated. They were captured. She does beat them up, and she does see them all captured at the end. Everything else was imaginary. So we don't know what happened to everybody else. I don't know if we'll see their interrogations, but none of that actually happened. So we all lived a lie.
I thought Ezekiel's like, oh, that's not real. But then the Eugene part, I thought that was real. They got me.
Right. Yeah, that seemed real. And Yumiko suffering
that
a little bit.
That seemed real.
Seemed real. So, okay. Scene for next week. Daryl and Dog are returning with Carol.
Yay.
They're leaving wherever they were. They're going back to camp. And it looks like they split up. There's a fork in the road, and Carol goes one way to return to Alexandria, and Daryl goes another way.
And Dog, excuse me, chooses Carol.
Yeah, Dog goes with Carol. Now, I don't know
what the hell?
If he stays with Carol the whole time. Maybe that's because he can't be in the scenes wherever Daryl's going to go. They don't want to show whatever happens to Daryl next. So there's only two episodes left in this season.
Daryl got salty, though.
Daryl goes on a mission, and Carol goes back. Well, Carol goes on a mission and then ends up back at Alexandria. Because at some point, they show her with Cooper Andrews, and she's saying, what can I do to help? What can I fix?
Yeah, she wants some hard labor.
Right, I want to fix something. And he's like, no, everything's done. We're good. We did everything while you were gone,
prints.
Like politely saying, like, thanks, but like while you were off gallivanting with your boy, we got everything done. Daryl sees a walker in a car. Carol is stuck in what looks like maybe an office or a hospital or something, and she's got to cut her way through a wall. I don't know if that's after Alexandria or on her way home. I don't see the dog anywhere. So
he better be okay.
Right, and then here's Negan is in the finale. So those are our two episodes remaining.
Cannot wait to see Hillary Burton Morgan as Lucille.
Or Jeffrey's wife.
Or Jeffrey's
too many wife. Names. It's too many.
She's got a lot of
too
names.
Too many syllables.
It's his real life wife.
Yes, real life wife is three syllables. What's her name?
Okay, real life wife.
What's her name?
Hillary Burton Morgan.
Right, that's six.
Real life wife.
Right, that's too. It's too much. Too much. His real life wife. Done.
Yeah, done.
Next week on Talking Dead, we've got Melissa McBride, Cooper Andrews, and Property Brothers' twin brother, Drew Scott.
Oh, he doesn't give such great input, but okay.
Yeah, he's all right. I like him personally, but maybe
but
on this
in
show.
In terms of a fan of the show, I'm like, sometimes I'm yelling at him. I'm like, did you even watch?
Yeah, I remember the last time he was on. We were like, hey, what is he talking about?
He's like that guy, the thing in the woods, and that guy, you know? Right. I'm like, oh.
Right. Like I've been a little bit recently where I'm like, what's her name?
What's her name? Oh, we both of it. We had to get, you know, back in the groove.
Right, but yeah, I forgot Leah's name for a split second.
It's fine.
I didn't forget Dog's name.
She isn't. I know. You can't forget Dog's name.
Dog's name, right. Now, I would tell you if Leah was unattractive, I might have remembered her name. But I remember she was attractive.
She is attractive.
I'm like, oh, the hot girl from the cabin.
With the red hair.
Right.
She's pretty.
Right. So I'm sorry. I apologize to everyone if I've offended any attractive people or unattractive people. I apologize. There's a teaser out for next episode. No, I'm sorry. There's another teaser out for season 11.
Yes. This is the creepiest one. This wins.
It's a subway wall. I don't know where the subway trains. I don't think
Pittsburgh. That's what I was wondering. Where
I think
the hell
maybe
is
Pittsburgh
this?
Has a subway. I think. Don't tweet me. I can look it up. And I've been to Pittsburgh. I just don't remember a subway. But there may be a small subway system. I'm sure there is. Anyway, there's a subway wall. And it says, if there is a God spray painted, he will have to beg for my forgiveness. So I wonder
Good
who wrote
Lord.
That.
Huh. Good Lord.
That's a teaser for season 11.
Yes, it is.
That's the third one, I believe.
It is. We had the ice cream cones, the cake, and now the subway
and
wall.
The cake one is the one that had the pictures on the wall of a lost person.
Yes.
So there you go. So overall, tweet us at usual places, at David Brody, at The Talking Jamie, at Walkers _ Talkers. Let us know what you thought of the episode. Don't hold back. You haven't already tweeted us, so we couldn't read your tweets. So feel free, now that we've watched it. I think I told a couple of people, don't tweet too much because we may not have watched it. Well, I think we're back on a regular pace now, where we're watching it relatively on time. At least by Monday night, we've watched it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Overall, it's all right.
Wasn't okay.
I don't know if it was the worst episode ever.
I don't think it was the worst ever.
Most people think the episode with Daryl and Beth was the worst.
Also, the one with Tara and Heath in the woods that got a lot of flack.
That may be my least favorite.
Yeah.
That especially when she comes up behind the walker that happens to have dreadlocks.
Ah, come on now.
That was dreadlock bullshit.
That was major dreadlock.
That was
bullshit.
Like when they came up behind the walker that looked like Madison from behind when at
the
hotel
bar.
In the bar.
Yep.
When Madison was still alive. And like, that's not Madison. enough with that. But dreadlocks, really? Really?
Yeah, they tried to play us.
All right. We're gonna try this, Jamie. Because we did not have a lot of luck the past couple of weeks.
I'm so sorry.
All right, so I'm gonna just set you up. Jamie, this is the part where we end the podcast.
Yes, it is.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Are you mentally prepared?
I've been training all week.
Have you thought about what you're going to say? Have you looked at the script? Do you have your lines memorized?
I do. They're in my head.
Okay. Remember, timing.
Timing.
You know the old joke, Jamie? What's the most important thing about Jamie, here's what you do. Go, Jamie, do you know what the most important thing about comedy is?
Timing.
No, don't ruin the joke. You're supposed to say what? And then you can't even do that.
I can't even do that right.
What, Jamie, what's the most important three things about real estate?
Three things? What are they?
Location. That's right. Jamie, what's the most important thing about doing comedy?
What
timing.
Is it?
Yes. That's how it's supposed to work. See, that's how it's
supposed
to
work. There
we go. Jamie, it's time.
What time is it?
It's time
to shut this shit down.
You did it again.
I did it again.
What did you do?
I don't know. I'm following the delay in my ear and it's really fucking with me. Sorry.
Just say it. We just spent 20 minutes ramping up to it. We should take a commercial break before we try to shut the shit down.
We should.
All right, we'll be right back with Jamie trying to shut this shit down. And then we come back and I go, Dad, we're back from commercial. Jamie, are you ready? Jamie,
I'm
this
ready.
Is it. We'll try it one more time.
Okay.
Jamie.
Yes.
Do you know what time it is?
What time is it?
It's time to shut this shit down. There you go.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. That's it. It's time to shut this shit down. That's all you got to say.